Okay, so ladies and gentlemen, our preacher for today is no other than our very own Kuya Eric Miller.
Awesome. Thank you, Pastor Buddy. Well, good morning, everyone. It's good to see all of you today. I have a message for you today that actually I shared partly last week in one of our fire school classes. I am teaching a new class this semester, and let me encourage you guys to look into taking classes at fire school. If you cannot come full time, we are starting up again a next semester in August, and I am really expecting this semester to be a powerful semester. We have some folks coming from the U.S., and I know we'll have part-time and full-time students, but get training. How many of you know if you hunger for the Word of God, it builds your faith, right? Faith comes by hearing the Word of God, not just good preaching, but the Word of God is what changes us. And so immerse yourself as much as you're able to. Maybe you've been to Bible school before, but you're thinking, I'm hungry. I want to look at the classes that are being offered. I know Pastor Armin is actually going to teach on the Foursquare farming starting in August. And we're going to have a host of different classes and things available for you to look into. But this semester, I'm teaching a new class, and every week I've been developing it. And the name of the class is called Developing a Supernatural Lifestyle. And the reason why I came up with this class is because at the end of last year, I was really grieved in my heart at the hypocrisy of many Christian leaders, especially charismatic and Pentecostal leaders, which we all are of. But yet, there's been so much hypocrisy and double living and not honoring the Lord in the secret place. And so I said, Lord, there's so many, you know, videos on YouTube and podcasts and radio programs and books on, you know, 10 steps to heal the sick and how to get a miracle in your life, how to believe God for financial breakthroughs. And all of that is fine. But most of the time, it's not focused on character development. And I don't believe God's going to take any shortcuts. I don't believe God is ever worried, anxious, or stressed out. He is always at peace. And because of that, if we do things His way and allow Him to lay foundations in our lives, yes, we will see supernatural things take place because that's who He is. That's His character and His nature is supernatural. Amen? And so the class that I taught, I'm changing the title for today because I think it will help, but a lot of the details some of our students may be familiar with. But I want to talk to you today about, is your tongue trained or is it domesticated? Is it trained or domesticated? And I'm going to explain what that means in a moment. You have the nice little happy, well, not so happy, hyena, right? So how many of you'd like to have a hyena as a pet? Not so many people, huh? So listen to this. The hyena is found in the open savanna plains and grasslands in Africa. One species, the striped hyena, is found in Africa and also in the jungles of parts of Asia too. Hyenas look remarkably similar to dogs, but in fact are more closely related to cats. That's for your evolutionists. Their fur is sandy to gray-brown in color with dark spots. The front legs are relatively long in comparison to the hind legs, giving the animal a lopsided look. Hyenas live in packs. How many of you know if you don't control your tongue, you're always looking for other people to agree with you? Hello, are you here? Okay, listen, we can talk after church, okay? With the den of a hyena pack generally being in the center of the territory, They are social animals that communicate with each other through specific calls, postures, and signals. The hyena is best known for its cackling, laugh-like scream. Have you ever heard a hyena? They're like, that's pretty good, actually. I didn't even practice that. See, if you pray in the spirit on a regular basis, you'll have gifts flowing from your life. And it's so like evil sounding, you know? It's just really nasty. And they're all doing it, but they're actually communicating when they're doing that. That's kind of what gossip sounds like sometimes to the Lord, right? Complaining, arguing, murmuring. Okay, it's getting quieter. And they're alerting each other about food. A hyena's call can be heard by other hyenas that even are up to 3 miles away. Reputed to be cowardly and timid, the hyena can be bold and dangerous, attacking animals and humans. You know, if you don't know how to control your tongue, you can become a very dangerous individual. You know, during the Welsh Revival in 1904, there was such a move of God that when many of the men who used to train their animals, specifically their horses, after they got born again, the horses did not obey their commandments anymore. Because the horses were so used to these men cursing them that these men had gotten so set free and born again, they had to retrain their horses to be able to understand their new language. See, that's what the gospel will do for you. If you just say, I'm a Christian now and I go to church, it's great, but it doesn't change the way you talk, you might need to revisit thinking about what you have in Jesus. Amen. Hyenas stand about 28 to 35 inches high at the shoulder and weigh between 90 to 190 pounds. Hyenas are skillful hunters, but also feast off of leftovers from other animals. We're talking about your tongue can be like a hyena. And a lot of times when people are talking about others in a dishonorable way, or we are complaining, murmuring, right? And we're doing all those things. Yes, we forget that God hears, but the enemy also hears. And he often draws the ears of other people to listen to what you have to say, and we come together in packs. And we start attacking one another in a way that God never commanded us to do. In fact, he said, love your neighbor as you love yourself. They hunt off of various type of sizes and different, you know, prey. They can take bones and literally bite the bones and crunch them and swallow them. They have incredible strength in their jaws. They have such powerful mouth. You can see why I'm using a hyena as an example. They even eat the poo of other animals. I mean, it's disgusting, right? If they can find a good meal, they will. But if they see a dead animal that's been dead for days, they'll eat it. They're scavengers. Hyenas have always been in conflict with humans, always, just like the tongue. African legends and folklore link the hyena to witchcraft and the supernatural. I mean, these are not believers, but oftentimes people look at hyenas as being demonic, right? Pigs, you know, people think of that as demonic, unless you're super hungry and you're Gentile. Hyenas are hunted and killed because they often attack farm animals and blah, blah, blah. Hyenas are wild animals similar to the untamable tongue. They can be trained, but they cannot be domesticated like dogs. I don't know, Angelie. You think you could hold that guy in your lap on the left? No, I mean, that's like the sweetest dong in the world. It's never upset. It's always full of happiness and joy, right? I think if you shaved it, the dog is actually only this big. But it's sweet. It even wears a diaper when it comes to church. You know, the difference between tamed and domesticated animals. Listen to this quote. Domestication is not the same as taming. You need to understand this point. A domestic animal is genetically determined. Isn't that interesting? This is from evolutionists. They say it is genetically determined. It didn't happen by accident. To be tolerant of humans. So interesting. Angelie's little happy dog, that is a domesticated animal. That thing, cats, dogs, right? Like, you're not thinking, Renante, on your property that maybe we should have a pet, you know, ostrich. Right? I mean, or emu, right? They're kind of mean. You know, Kathy, do you want a crocodile at your house for the kids to play with and walk around? Little Yuri is leading the cocker. Yeah, no, don't do that. Listen, an individual wild animal or wild animal born in captivity, listen, it might be tamed. It's not impossible to tame an animal like a crocodile, but it cannot be domesticated. Their behavior can be conditioned so that they can grow accustomed to living alongside humans, but they are not truly domesticated and remain genetically wild. Hyenas are like the human tongue. Until an individual is born again, what comes from their tongue cannot be trained or tamed. The power of sin and death is embedded into the DNA of everyone born in the flesh. And they are destined to live as a slave until they are set free or domesticated by the blood of Jesus. Are you with me? Does that make sense? Okay. Until the heart is transformed, the tongue cannot be tamed. Until the heart is domesticated. New nature. You know, you can't, somebody said one time, you can't teach an old dog new tricks. Because once you get used to certain habits and patterns of thinking, oh, you might be able to stop smoking and stop drinking, but you know what you're going to do? You're going to replace it with another addiction. And you think, oh, I'll just play sports now. Or I'll go to the gym all the time. And we think that's healthier, but here's the fact. All you like to do is look at yourself in the mirror all the time. And while I'm happy you're taking care of your body, what is the condition of your heart? See, that's what God is looking at. He's not looking at, well, let's just replace that addiction with something else. No, he's saying, I want to set you free and break every chain off of your life so that I can give you freedom in your innermost being so that you can live for me and speak with peace and speak with praise and speak with honor and speak with joy so that people would really understand that you have been risen with Christ. Amen? You know, one time when we were here in Davao, this is many, many years ago, this is before or maybe just when they built SNR or before, but I was coming to that corner to the main road that goes in front of SNR. What's that road there? Ma'a. Okay, I'm coming from your place, that direction, and I'm going to make a right. So S and R would be on my right side. So I come, and I don't see any sign that says you can't turn right on red. And if you know how to drive, then you know if a sign is there that says do not turn right on red, you do not turn right on red. Well, I didn't see that sign, and I turned right on red, and so... Sir, you know, how are you today? You made an illegal turn. And I said, well, sir, I did not see a sign that said I could not turn. And I don't remember if he proceeded to tell me there was a sign or what. But I got frustrated with him because I'm thinking, I'm not trying to break the law. I'm a missionary. I'm holy. You ever try to justify in your mind to have a bad attitude with somebody? Okay. Yeah, we've all done it, except, you know, maybe Casey, but, you know. So I'm frustrated, and he says, I have to give you a ticket. I think he gave me a ticket. It's been so long. And so I leave. And I drive maybe 100 feet, and then conviction. That was wrong. You dishonored his authority. What are you going to say to God when you know he's right? So I turn left. Was that Tulip Drive to go to SM Echoland? So I go there, and while I'm there, I'm doing some things, and it's echoing. You dishonored his authority. You should go back and repent. I'm in a department store, and somewhere I'm so convicted, I feel like I should buy him a 500 peso gift card. I'm thinking, this is ridiculous. All right, so I buy it. I have to come all the way back around. If you know how to drive back there, I think I came past the Philippine Women's College, had to turn right, turn where the McDonald's used to be and stuff on the corner next to NCCC, and make a U-turn, and then, you know, come back around. Then I stop, and I see him sitting there, and I put my window down. I go, sir, and he looks at me like, oh, no, this guy again, you know? You know, how many good-looking white guys are there in the city anyway, you know? And so I said, sir, listen, I'm a Christian, and I'm a missionary, and I just want you to know, I need to ask for your forgiveness because I did not honor your authority earlier. And he said, well, you know, he was trying to help me feel better. And I said, look, I know I was wrong, and so I want to ask for your forgiveness. Yeah, I forgive, you know. And he didn't take the ticket back, but you know. But sometimes you got to pay the price when you reap, and you might have to reap what you sow, right? Even though you do what's right before God. And so I said, I want to give you something. He goes, what's this? I said, it's a gift card to whatever place it was. He goes, oh, no, you don't have to do that. I said, no, I really need to. Because I don't believe in just repentance. I believe in restitution. I want to make things right. Amen? Yeah. So after humbling myself and a short amount of time after that, the Lord gave me a word. And he said, if you want to prophesy publicly, you need to pray privately. And you know, the best way that I have found to redeem our tongues from the flesh is by praying in the Spirit. Do you know that the Bible teaches there are two type of tongues? I know some of you do and some of you may not. There is private tongues that comes upon a believer when they are baptized in the Holy Spirit. Now, is tongues the only initial evidence of the baptism of the Holy Spirit? I really don't know, but it is the majority of the time. And so I believe God wants to give every believer a personal private prayer language. The ability to speak in tongues. And then secondly, There is public tongues, which manifest when a believer, when believers come together in prayer and worship to hear from God. Now, what do you call public tongues when it is interpreted by somebody? Does anybody know? Fire school students? You should know. If you don't know, I'm going to make sure it's on your test. Prophecy. So Paul talks about, I would encourage you to do a study on the gifts of the Spirit, 1 Corinthians chapter 10 through 14, Ephesians 3 and 4, you know, Romans chapter 12. Do a study on the gifts of the Spirit. And if you understand that if somebody, you know, at a moment in a service when, or in a small group meeting, gathering, you know, has just praise in tongues out loud, it's not just their private tongues, but it is a public tongue. That tongue, Paul says, has to be interpreted. It should not just be out loud. That's why he says we should do things decently and in order. Okay? Now, when we're singing, we're worshiping, and you might be singing in tongues, that's more of that private tongues, but we're not trying to draw attention to ourselves. What we're trying to do is just worship God, right? Sometimes I don't know what to pray and I just worship the Lord in tongues, amen? But if it's in a gathering and there's like a silent part and then you say something in tongues out loud, then you're drawing attention to everybody that God is speaking and this will be interpreted. Are you with me? Okay. We don't see it a lot, but how many of you have seen that before? You've been in a meeting where you've seen tongues, public tongues, and interpretation of tongues. Okay. So a lot of times people just prophesy. Why does God do it either way? I don't know. He's God. He makes the rules. How many of you have, or why do you think public tongues and private tongues are so controversial? Well, besides the false teaching of cessationism, I believe, and let me say that, I know I say that strongly, but I cannot come to any biblical conclusion that there's any one verse that points to the gifts of the Spirit ending with the death of the last of the apostles. I don't see that anywhere. In fact, apostleship continues with Paul. Paul is not a part of the original 12. And so fivefold ministry gifts, these things I believe continue to this day, but we do not add to Scripture anymore. And we do not put apostles, prophets, pastor, teacher, and evangelists on the same level as the apostles of before. They have a different role. In the book of Revelation, it says those leaders are considered the apostles of the Lamb. And God will build his government off of those leaders. Now, he's not trying to make them more important than everybody else. They were the first ones, the pioneers, the examples. And Scripture that has been written through those apostles and leaders, that is canonized. And that cannot be added to. The book of Revelation tells us at the end that anybody who adds to or takes away from what is written in this book, that the curses that are written throughout the whole entire Bible will be added to your life. So don't be a part of a cult. This is why we speak so hard against crazy people like Kibaloy. This is why we talk about why Jehovah's Witnesses, Mormons, and other cultish religions, we have to stand against it, not because we hate the people, but because there is an established truth that is written. When the devil came to tempt Jesus in the desert, Jesus said, "It is written." And so just like Jesus did with the devil, if you try to say in the name of Pastor Armin Valdez or the name of Eric Miller, that the devil won't listen to you. We have no authority. But if you say in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the devil has to put his tail between his legs and submit. Amen. Listen, Scripture is solid. And if the word of God is solid, then your tongue and my tongue does not have the right to just say and do whatever we want to. Hello. I know this is a strong message, but listen, if we're playing games with God when a war is taking place in Israel and Ukraine and there's so much upheaval in the political realm around the world, my friend, now is not the time. There's never a time to backslide. But I'm telling you now, this is not the time to get caught up in the works of darkness. To get caught up in lies, deception, and gossip. Now is the time to hear the word of the Lord and walk in honor and obedience to it. Besides the false teaching of cessationism, I believe one reason people do not value public or private tongues or see the manifestation of tongues with interpretation is because we do not know how to control our tongues. From the beginning of mankind, Scripture tells us how dangerous the tongue can be. Let's look in Genesis 11, verses 1 through 9. Now the whole world had one language and a common speech. As people moved eastward, they found a plain in Shinar and settled there. This is just 11 chapters into the book of Genesis, okay? Everything is new. They said to each other, come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly. They used brick instead of stone and tar for mortar. And they said, come, let us build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches to the heavens so that we may make a name for ourselves. Otherwise, we will be scattered all over the face of the earth. But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower the people were building. The Lord said, if as one people speaking the same language they have begun to do this, then nothing they plan to do will be impossible for them. This sounds like the same tone that God had for Adam and Eve. Don't eat from this tree. Because if you'll do, you have a knowledge of what is right and what's wrong. And God separated Adam and Eve from the garden because he did not want to destroy them. And he could have destroyed them, but he did not, and he had a plan of redemption. But the same thing is happening with the people in the Tower of Babel. He did not want to destroy the people. He knew that sin leads us to pride. Where are we at? Verse 7. Come, let us go down and confuse their language so that they will not understand each other. So the Lord scattered them from there all over the earth, and they stopped building the city. That is why it is called Babel, because the Lord confused the language of the whole world. From there, the Lord scattered them over the face of the whole earth. So you want to know where Visayan, Tagalog, English, all these different languages came from is because of the Tower of Babel situation. So why did God destroy the Tower of Babel? Because man tried to become God on his terms without coming to God on his terms. Are you with me? Yeah. This is going to make a lot of sense in a moment. Let's read some other scriptures on how dangerous the tongue can be. Psalm 5, verse 9. Not a word from their mouth can be trusted. This is the heart that is bound by sin. Not a word from their mouth can be trusted. The heart is filled with malice. Their throat is an open grave. With their tongues they tell lies. Psalm 34, verse 13. Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking lies. Proverbs 6, 16 through 19. Listen, there is so much scripture about the tongue that I'm barely scratching the surface. Proverbs 6, 16 through 19. There are six things the Lord hates, seven that are detestable to him. Haughty eyes or prideful eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked schemes, feet that are quick to rush into evil, a false witness who pours out lies, and a person who stirs up conflict in a community. Friend, I want to tell you, How many of you have ever had pride before? Okay, some of you have it now and you're not letting us know. You don't want to admit it. How many of you have ever lied? Yeah. How many of you have ever killed somebody? Yeah. Well, you're thinking, no, I didn't kill someone physically. How many of you have held unforgiveness and offense and murdered somebody in your heart? Okay. How many of you have ever devised wicked schemes? How many of you had feet to quickly rush into evil and to be a false witness, not only a liar, but a deceiver of what's happening around you in regard to different situation? And how many of you have stirred up conflict in your marriage or conflict in your home or conflict in your community? Hello. This is not to embarrass you or to shame you. This is to expose the works of darkness so that you would know what to do and what not to do. Yeah. Proverbs 15:4, the soothing tongue is a tree of life, but a perverse tongue crushes the spirit. Proverbs 17:28, even fools are thought as wise if they keep silent. Other versions say if they keep their mouth shut. And discerning if they hold their tongues. Proverbs 18:21, are you getting the point? The tongue has power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Proverbs 21:23, those who guard their mouths and their tongues keep themselves from calamity. If you keep wondering why there's no breakthroughs in your life, why don't you ask God if there's anything that you said you need to repent of? Romans 3:13, their throats are an open grave, their tongues practice deceit. The poison of vipers is on their lips. Whew. James 1:26, those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongue deceive themselves, and their religious is what? Worthless. You can't present yourself to people and then talk behind everybody's back in a negative way and say that you're a Christian. James 3:1-12. Not many of you should become teachers, my fellow believers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. We all stumble in many ways. Anyone who is never at fault in what they say is perfect, able to keep their whole body in check. Is that anybody here? When we put bits, do you know what a bit is? It's when you look at a carabao or a horse or something and you put something in their mouth and then you're able to control their head movement, right? When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or ships, for example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a small rudder that's under the water. And wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. You see, these things, gossip and complaining and arguing and murmuring, all of that stuff can get out of hand very quickly. And it can kill a move of God. And we have young men and women that are coming to Jesus. And I'm going to tell you, I am going to be a man that prays in the Spirit. Because I want to protect myself from saying things that my flesh wants to say. But I also want to pray over this community that we continue to be of one mind and one accord. Amen? Verse 6, the tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and itself is set on fire by hell. I hope you're getting this. Oh, I've heard messages like this before. If you've heard messages like this before, then let me ask you, do you pray in the Spirit on a regular basis? Because how else will your tongue be domesticated if you think that your flesh can continue to tame your own tongue? All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. With the tongue we praise our Lord and our Father, and with it we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth comes praise and cursing. My brothers and my sisters, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can salt spring produce fresh water. Last verse here. 1 Peter 3, verse 10. Whoever would love life and see good days must keep their tongue from evil and their lips from deceitful speech or from speaking lies. Why is being born again and baptized in the Holy Spirit so important for our tongues? It is God coming to man because of his faith instead of man coming to God by his own works. Do you remember Babel? Babel was man saying, we can be like God. I'm going to go to where God is. That was by their good works. So God in his mercy tears down what they're trying to build and then confuses them with languages so that they would have to find God by faith. And it took some more thousands of years before the day of Pentecost would finally come. And on the day of Pentecost, when the Spirit was poured out, it was not just for us to fall on the floor and say, oh, I have good, warm, fuzzy feelings now. It has everything to do with redeeming our tongues. Why would God have us speak in a language we don't understand? If you think that's weird, how do you think the people felt in the Tower of Babel when they heard somebody speaking Chinese, Japanese, and whatever else? Nobody could understand each other at the time. They had to relearn how to communicate with one another. Yet, tongues is a grace that God gives us, I believe, as a reminder to what he did before, so that if we would pray in the Spirit and with understanding, God's presence would come and he would join us together with cords of love that cannot be broken. Mark 16, 17, and these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will drive out demons and they will speak with new tongues. When we are born again, we should no longer talk like we used to. We should talk differently. Amen? It's not right for you to be cursing anymore. Okay? It's not right for us to talk down to people anymore. Listen, you might have to change the music you listen to. I'm not saying all secular music is bad, but what I am saying is that if it's not glorifying God and adding purity and value and integrity to your heart and to your mind, so that what comes out of your lips, you're not repeating subliminally what you've heard from some ridiculous song that's just talking about perversion. You see, what we do with our lives in secret will manifest publicly. And if you pray in secret, you will start to prophesy publicly. Acts 2, 3 through 4, they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that came separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them, say all of them, were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. You've heard me say this before, but I can't stand Pentecostal charismatic meetings when we want people to speak in tongues. So we say, stand up, and then we say, just repeat after me. I have seen this kind of stuff. Every time I see it, it grieves me. You know why? Because we're so used to copying and pasting everything, but we're not used to teaching people how to have their own encounters with God. I don't want you to have a made-up encounter. I don't want you to walk away and think, oh, that was great. Let me leave and never really be changed by it. Friend, if the God of the universe comes upon your life, like the young man who testified earlier, I know he was nervous testifying, but I love that he testified because he's probably never done that before. And he's remembering what God's done with his life. And he's young, and years to come, he will remember that last Friday night for the rest of his life. Acts 2:11, both Jews and converts of Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues. Look, there's a supernatural power that God releases. When the Holy Spirit enables you to speak with tongues, it is a supernatural occurrence. Listen to this. Speaking in tongues is how the Lord renews or domesticates our minds. Speaking in tongues crucifies old patterns of thinking. Speaking in tongues helps us to tap into new revelation. Not revelation beyond the Word of God, but revelation of the Word of God. Speaking in tongues teaches us how to understand God's word. Speaking in tongues trains us how to speak words of faith, hope, and love. Speaking in tongues positions us to be still and know that He's God. Speaking in tongues guides us to experience more dreams and visions. Speaking in tongues opens a door to living a supernatural lifestyle. Speaking in tongues unlocks mysteries and helps us pray for God's perfect will. How many of you want to pray the perfect will of God? Amen? Amen. Speaking in tongues releases heaven for the glory of God to come. Amen. Now, some of you are looking at me and you're not convinced. And it's probably one of three things. One, you're gossiping too much. Two, you're not really sure you believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit speaking in tongues. Or three, you've had an encounter before and you don't practice. I'm not here to beat you up. I'm here to encourage you. Because if we're going to send you out into the mission field, I want you to have weapons of warfare. And not be picked off by the enemy so easily. Christians do not need to be wimps. Christians need to be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Scripture says that the righteous are as bold as a lion. You ever see lions and hyenas fighting? Who normally wins? The lion. Listen, the lion of the tribe of Judah lives in you. And you don't have to allow the mocking demonic spirit of some hyena demonic thing. I'm not saying all hyenas are demons. But what I am saying is that you do not need to allow the enemy to dictate your life. And given the fear and the torment, there is a strength, there is a power, there is an ability that you can walk in God that will open up and unlock the kingdom of heaven. There's a remarkable relationship I read about between a man and a beast in Ethiopia. Specifically, a man and a hyena. And it's been kept alive in his family as a tradition for 50 years. Abbas Yusuf, known as the hyena man, learned to feed these wild animals from his father, Yusuf Mumi Salah, who used to throw them scraps. So he used to have a problem with the hyenas. And he would take scraps of food and he would throw it in another location so that the hyenas would not attack his livestock, his animals. And it proved to be a good idea. So the hyenas would come all the time seeking food, and he developed a relationship with the hyenas. So in one sense, he was taming them. And he could literally sit in the middle right here. This is his son. Look at this hyena. He's treating him like it's Angelique's little dog. But listen, this particular tradition passed on by generations reaches beyond the natural order and shows how animal hyenas, typically feared by man and vilified in folklore, can be misunderstood. As Lehman says, there's no doubt that they're ugly creatures, but there's a beauty within. When I read that, you know what that means? That means that some of us used to look just like that dirty, nasty, smelly hyena. And that's, some of us have not only physical bad breath, but spiritually bad breath. Right? That's bad breath. But think about this. He's saying that they might be ugly, but there is actually a beauty within. That to me means that if you're born again and you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, Jesus changes us from the inside out. And if what comes out of our mouths, what comes out of our thinking, and the new patterns that God is establishing in us, you do not have to be bound to sin anymore. I get people who ask me, especially men, all the time, how did you get free from an addiction to pornography over 25 years ago? And I will tell you, one of the major keys is praying in tongues on a regular basis. If I am not praying in tongues on a regular basis, I get weak in my flesh. I do. And sometimes I need to be accountable to brothers and say, man, I've been struggling my mind a little bit more. Can you pray for me? There's nothing wrong with that. But friend, there is a victory in Jesus' name that you can walk in and you don't have to be bound by chains of the enemy. And there is a weapon of warfare that God has given us in speaking in tongues that if you will believe God, I know it sounds funny. I know it may not make sense to your intellectual mind, but the fact of the matter is, if you want to be free from the power of sin, you can overcome with the blood of the Lamb, the word of your testimony, speaking in tongues, the perfect will of God that will be genuine enough to help you to live in freedom. In Acts 19:6, we see this all throughout the book of Acts. There are different encounters where the baptism of the Holy Spirit takes place. It says when Paul laid his hands on these believers. Now the believers he was laying their hands on, they only knew the baptism of John. That means they only understood repentance. And praise God, we talk about repentance, right? Produce the fruit while keeping with repentance, right? So we repent. So while it's a lifestyle that we live of repentance, you don't always have to repent of the same sin. You can pray in the Spirit and build up strength so you don't give in to that sin anymore. Amen? And it says when Paul laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. I'm going to ask everybody to stand. Man, I thank God for what he's doing in our community. And please don't be distracted. I know there's little ones and families have to take care of them. That's fine. That's not what I'm talking about. But I want to encourage you to not be distracted. Because I believe we're at the door of seeing God break through. We see these young people coming to the Lord, the campuses, the outreaches, different unique ministries being started. We had Sister Elvie come and share at Fire School this last Tuesday on her testimony and how God set her free and all the things that he's done. It's amazing to me, the people that God is bringing together so that we can work together and see the kingdom of heaven advanced. Who would have thought that Maranatha Family Church would have 30, 40 other churches now? Who would think that we'd have graduates going to different places and preaching the gospel? Who would think that some of you would start the businesses and grow the families that you have and are making the impact? You see, I love this church, not just because you're looking to us as leaders to do everything for you, but you're doing the work. And we want to equip you. I thought Casey's word was extremely powerful last Sunday. And even Pastor Armin's word the Sunday before on Resurrection Sunday. In fact, John Valdez, who takes all these videos and makes the 1 minute like real clips and stuff like that, he'll make one up every week, and John does a fantastic job with that. And I had no idea how many people see those reels and things like that. And yet, he put one up for me. I got about 2,000, 2,500 likes. And I thought, oh, that's pretty cool, you know? Wow. I mean, because I'll put a video up there and there'll be like, you know, 50 likes, you know? And that's all right. That's cool. But my videos were not like John's. And then he put up Mike Bailey's, and Mike Bailey's gets like 3.5, and I'm putting it up on my page, and Mike's getting more likes than me. And then he puts up Pastor Armin Valdez, 10,000 plus likes. I'm like, oh man, come on. What's going on? This is my page! And that's been over 2 or 3 weeks, I think, of Pastor Armin's. Maybe like at least 3 weeks. Then he put Casey's up on Thursday. In 1 day, 5,000 plus likes. I'm thinking, well, she is kind of pretty. So she has that advantage. No, it was an incredible word. You know, I don't care about likes. It thrills me when I hear that other people are going far above and beyond anything that we do. I love it. Doc Ivy and Lot, they're taking these young teenagers and coming together and hanging out together and building community. Man, there's so much that I could talk about of many of your lives. But I believe the Lord wants to give us a fresh outpouring of His Spirit. Lord, we want a revival that's not something we can make up, but something that comes down from heaven. Not something that we could work our way and hopefully you'll really like us enough. No, we want something that only Jesus can do. Amen? Listen, let's just close our eyes where we are. Listen, just settle yourself before the Lord. And if there's anything that you need to repent of, anything that came from your lips or your tongue that you're saying, I need to ask for forgiveness. Lord, I need to repent for what I said about somebody else. I need to repent for the thoughts that I've had. You know, when we don't repent for the words that what we say, we keep people in a prison that they never asked to be in. If we've cursed people, if we've held unforgiveness, look, the Holy Spirit is going to bring things to your mind right now. It could be something that you've had to ask God for forgiveness for already. Well, if He brings it up, forgive again. It's not a bondage thing, it's a freedom thing. Say, Father, I want You to forgive me for what I said. I want to forgive that person who said what they said about me. Come on. I believe God wants to break curses off of people today. If you've gossiped, if you've had prideful, arrogant talk, ask for forgiveness. We want our tongues to be redeemed, domesticated by the kingdom of heaven, not just trained to say the right things, but set free from the bondage of sin. We want to be free to be a spirit-led people. A people that see normal signs, wonders, and miracles. And it's not because of preaching ability. It's not because of success or even just knowledge, but it's being in vertical alignment with the Lord. I want to be holy. I want to be righteous. I want to honor Your word, God. I don't want to take bits and pieces of Your word and just accept the parts that I like and the parts I don't like, I push aside. Just ask the Lord to forgive you of anything that He's convicting you of. Be specific. I want you to receive forgiveness, genuine. But we need to surrender our tongues today. Father, forgive me for what I said, for what I've thought, for what I think about that other person. I repent. Yes. Release forgiveness today in Jesus' name, God. You're the one who forgives us. You're the mediator between God and man. You're the one that we come to. Lord, we surrender our good works. We surrender our words. We surrender our thoughts. We give ourselves freely as you gave yourself freely to us. I want you to say this with me out loud, everybody in this place. Jesus, I repent. I need your forgiveness. I surrender my tongue. Forgive me for what I've said about others. I forgive those who said things about me. In Jesus' name, I will not participate in gossip. I want to participate in agreement and unity. In Jesus' name, I receive forgiveness.
Take the call, touch my lips. Here I am.